Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Welcome to the Surfcast, Mobile Surf's Canadian tech-focused podcast. It's been a while. I think it's been months. It's been months at this point. It's been so long that Bennett forgot to hook up a microphone before doing
podcast. I also just waved for the camera, and I don't think we're doing this one video. So I am no, I'm not out of my zone. Either. I was just like, hey, guys. No one's seeing that.
So I'm Patrick O'Rourke, and that was the voice of Brad Bennett. He's a man that still insists that he's the bad boy of tech. How are you doing, Brad?
Pretty good. Yeah, been a while since we've been on the podcast, but new phones are out, lots to talk about, and this is where I thrive. This is where I want to be, right here, talking about phones.
And Dean. Dean is also on the podcast, and he looks very awake. How are you doing, Dean?
I'm very tired. I was up till 5 a.m. last night playing a certain game. Not going to name names, though.
This isn't
the place for it.
So this week, we're talking about the Samsung Galaxy S23. Both Dean and Brad were down at the event in San Francisco. They got hands-on time with the phones. They left with the phones. Like in years past, there's no embargo for Dean's review this year. So it's kind of like free game. We can talk about whatever we want with the devices. There's no restrictions in place, which is kind of nice. To Samsung's credit, I really like when they do that. But to kick things off, covering this remotely, editing your work, getting all these blog posts prepared for the embargo, these phones seem the same as last year's phones. Am I wrong in that? Or are there things that are different about them that maybe just weren't catching my eye?
I'd say you're wrong about that, Patrick. They are okay. Not the same phone. I feel like the S22 and the S21 was the same phone other than the S Pen. And the S22 and the S23, well, no, they are the same phone.
You just like convinced yourself, talked yourself into a corner?
Yeah. There's a lot of specs I think we can talk about, but I think sort of what Dean and I have been feeling as we've been using, both of us have been using the Ultra, it's like, there's a lot there and it's exciting and it's a great phone, but day to day, it doesn't feel that much different than last year's Ultra, I guess. That's mostly how I'm feeling.
Yeah, it's totally how I'm feeling. I mean, of course, they've added a 200 megapixel camera. Yay. But I don't take pictures every day. So that camera doesn't really come into my life every single day, right? So otherwise, the phone just feels like the same old S22 Ultra.
So speaking of the 200 megapixel camera, like that was the thing that they highlighted during the presentation. You talked about it a lot in your review. Like, I don't know. I always think back when we hear about like cameras getting more megapixels that like that was a very much early 2010s, 2000 smartphone camera thing. Like you buy your new Nokia with like a 2 megapixel camera instead of a 1.3 megapixel camera. And then like slowly people that covered the tech industry realized that like beyond very specific purposes, more megapixels doesn't often result in better photos. How is Samsung selling this 200 megapixel camera? Like what are they telling you as like media attending the event, and how are they positioning it to like the average consumer? Like why the hell would they want this? Like why should they run out and buy a new Ultra specifically for the camera?
You know, like just to show it off, you'd be like, my megapixel, I got a few more megapixels than you guys, I'm a cooler guy with more megapixels, I'm the megapixel guy. Easy as that. No, I actually think they're kind of dual. Sorry, Dean, I didn't mean to cut you off, but I think they're kind of dual marketing it. There's like commercials where there's people taking lots of selfies and they're talking about how easy it is to just share your photos and how good they look straight out of the camera, not really mentioning the 200 megapixel very much. And then there are like more pro oriented commercials where they're like real creators using this camera, like sort of Apple type commercials where it's like we see creators in the field, although these ones seem like actors playing creators, just doing creative camera tricks with 200 megapixels, which you probably don't need 200 megapixels for, but it is, like, if you're using it for pro work or had to blow it up really huge, there is more detail there.
Yeah, I think there is. I think there is definitely more detail when you're using it to blow up. Like, Brad and I were stuck in a room with just huge portraits of ourselves. And
what do you mean stuck? That was heaven. Yeah. But I dream about the heaven. Dean room every night.
I dream about it too. No, but it's just huge pictures. It was just, they blew it up really well, and the pictures did look good, despite being taken on a phone. And honestly, just quick, in our quick camera comparisons with the two phones, I did notice that I think I preferred the S23 Ultra's pictures. They did look like they had more details included in the shots. We have one picture where we can see, like, the actual brand writing on Brad's camera. Okay,
the Fuji shot. Yeah, there was one where it's like, it was even like a medium wide, like it's me holding the camera with the gimbal, and like the part of me doesn't look that different, although actually the color toning I think felt better on the S23 in that photo, at least. We haven't done like extensive testing on the color toning yet, but just seeing the camera, how many like sharp edges and how like angular it was, I feel like the extra detail in the 200 megapixels helped that pop a little more, which, yeah, I think that's what you could just see, which was cool.
So it's all about detail, but like, is there anything built specifically into Samsung's version of Android that allows you to like do special cropping or zooming on these massive photos? Because like, when I hear 200 megapixels, I'm like, oh, that's a photo that you would want to print out, like, which no one really does anymore. You want to be able to make, I don't even know what you could blow that up to, because that's huge. But is there anything like that built into Samsung software?
To like easy print something?
Like, you know, like for cropping, taking advantage, like, taking advantage of it in some way where you have like, I don't know, you take a picture of like a landscape of some sort, but you want to like hone in on the CN Tower. Can you do like cropping from within one UI to blow that up and not lose a lot of detail because it's such a massive photo?
I don't think there's anything built in specifically, just like the regular cropping tools. And I think they do work really well on the 200 megapixel photos. But yeah, that's one of the things that I've kind of been like interested about, is like when we went to the Pixel event last year and the iPhone event, both of those companies made a big deal of like, we've added these bigger megapixel sensors. You can just, like you're saying, in the camera app, crop out the middle 12 megapixels and we'll give you a 2x
zoom. That's what I mean.
Through cropping like that. And Samsung is like, we've bought a 200 megapixel camera on board. And we're like, whoa, what can we crop that into? And they're like, nothing, because we already have a 10x lens on here and a 3x
lens.
That
answers my question.
And, yeah. And so it's one of those weird Samsung things where they were like, everyone's doing bigger sensors, but they never really asked themselves why everyone is doing bigger sensors. They were like, we're just going to do the biggest.
And I think another part where the sensor does come in is low light images.
That's true.
Because the bigger sensors are able to capture more light.
Okay.
And they did look better, easily better. They looked more realistic in my picture, in my testing. I've done even less testing with low light. I've done quite a bit with full light. High light, but light, with low light, good lighting. Yeah, but with low light, I haven't done a lot. But from what I've seen, these images look better. They're like the center focal point of the image is brighter and easy to see. But I find that it still managed to keep the rest of the image darker, like it's nighttime, which helps with realism compared to the S22 Ultra that just kind of brightens up the whole image, which made it always look like, why would I want these shots, right? Like, they're cool, they're bright, but they're not true to the eye.
And I would, just adding on to that, I'm not sure if it's exactly like sensor size, because the physical size of the two sensors is more, the megapixel count is different, but all of that increased detail then can be fed into the phone's like algorithm, giving the algorithm more information to, like Dean said, accurately light the photo. It doesn't have to be like, okay, this section has to be this, this section has to be that. They can be like, okay, that section, we'll break it up into 9 parts, light it accurately. And it ends up being like a more rewarding photo. Like some of the neon shots actually capturing the highlights in dark instances where I think, where we were blown away the most in testing so far.
Totally.
So Bennett, you gave us a bit of homework for this particular Syrupcast episode. Do you want to intro it, like what we're going to briefly talk about, since I think you have a better idea than me?
Yeah, I mean, if you want to follow along, I guess anybody at home, like pause the podcast, open up YouTube. Samsung just released a Ridley Scott short film. It's only like 4 minutes, but the entire thing was shot on S22 Ultra. If you want to get really into it. Yeah.
23, yeah.
As of Gucci 0.2. But no, it's like a very artsy short film, but it does show off the camera really well. And then also Apple throughout this year and last year, pretty much since the iPhone 12, they've been doing a lot of shot on iPhone marketing. And this year with the iPhone 14 Pro, or yeah, iPhone 14 series, I guess they've been going really hard into short films, and they have one that just came out called Forsat, I think. But it's on the Apple channel on YouTube. Yeah, that one's like 30 minutes, so you don't really need to watch it all. But even watching the first 5 minutes gives you a really interesting comparison of these two, both like marketing styles of these companies, where they sort of envision their product and how well that product actually works in like a semi-professional video taking environment. And I think that's like something that is interesting to discuss. So the three of us watched both of those last night, and then we're just going to chat about them now. So if you want to keep up, check those out, take like 10 minutes and or just listen to us talk about them. And it's an interesting ride, I think.
Yeah, the Ridley Scott one. One of the key things that I took away from it was like there's a ton of contrast, and obviously that's the one that's shot with the Galaxy S23 Ultra. Yep. But it also at the same time felt, and I know that like I don't know if cheating is the right word, but it felt like there was a lot of stuff going on that maybe wasn't just the phone, like professional lighting, some sort of like I'm sure ridiculous movie level gimbal setup, or like I don't even know what those things are called that they use in actual movies.
A steady cam or a dolly.
It was incredible that it was shot with a phone, but I couldn't help but like see these certain sections of that video where I was like, there's no way you just held a phone and
yeah,
or put it on a tripod or whatever. Like you did some other stuff behind the scenes that you're not like being totally honest about, because this is a marketing piece.
Yeah, during the S23 event, they showed us a bit of the behind the scenes for the Ridley Scott video, and it was just like, oh, it looks like a lot is going on. Like you're paying thousands upon thousands of dollars to shoot this 3-minute movie that looks good. Don't get me wrong, but no one, not your typical S23 Ultra user, can do this. Like they won't have the money to get these huge dollies or the camera filters specifically made for the S23 Ultra, or the lights or the crew or Ridley Scott. Like, they won't, like it looks good. It's really cool that a camera phone can do it, but it's an unrealistic viewing of the phone. Like, I'll never in my life be able to take a video that looks that good. And sure, sell yourself short, did.
Dean. You could do it. You could become a famous director that made Aliens.
You could make a multiple Alien movies, come back, make another one that some people are really divisive about, and then go on and have a really illustrious career.
But what was really strange about this was just how edgy it was, and how edgy Samsung is really pushing the note compared to Apple. Like Samsung's other movie they're going to do hasn't come out yet, but it's with it's like a Korean horror.
It's called Faith. Yeah. Cool. It's a horror movie.
Which is super weird and like very, and like a very opposite than what we're like, what Apple's doing. So it's interesting that Samsung's pulling this brand. Last year, if the S22 Ultra, they shot a video of an animal little documentary.
Yeah, I remember that.
And I thought it was super good. And at least they didn't show us. But they didn't have these huge dollies, and they didn't have these those lenses. They just, someone was holding the phone, I think, or I think someone had a gimbal. But either way, it was a lot more realistic to what we're seeing with the S23 Ultra.
Yeah, one of the things in the S23 Ultra one that I noticed is like they use a lot of like fog machine, it seems like. Okay, so, and it's a really smart like filmmaking technique, because they're like, okay, we're using a phone, we're not going to get like good depth of field, how do we blur out the background? They're like, oh, we'll just do it like analog, we'll just fog this whole place up. But it's like, you know what I mean, it's like, it's not a really, it's hard to then as a viewer like see through the fog and be like, oh, okay, like does it actually look that good, or did they have, you know, people on set like keeping fog in the background like all the time, you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm. They went to Spirit and they bought a bunch of fog machines, I'm sure. That's all they did.
But the last thing I say about the Ridley Scott one too, there is two shots at the end. There's like a slow motion, and they're shot in like the perfect lighting conditions. Like this is how you want to make a phone look good. Like you take it out at dawn, and you just as the sun's like cresting a hill, you get your shots. But there's a slow motion like horse running shot, and I think another 8K shot of just the guy leading the horse through the field, and those actually look really, really great. But yeah, a lot of it like up before that is just like, okay, what's going on? This is yeah. Why are they pushing low light so hard? It's quite grainy. And yeah, I guess the only other thing too. Oh, sorry. Go ahead, D.
No, just a guy just found a horse in the trash.
Yeah,
that didn't make any sense.
Yeah, he finds the horse. He finds the horse in the trash. He sings "Amazing Grace" to the horse. The horse is revived. Don't really worry about that. That's not as nice. But the two shots after in the dawn or sunset, beautiful. And I guess the last like filmmaking thing that I did notice that I think actually might be, it's hard to say if this is a plus on the phone or like Dean said, this is just them using like an ND filter to keep exposure correct. But one of the things that you need to do on a camera to make sure like motion, we can't see this, but to make sure motion looks realistic is you need to make sure like your frame rate and shutter speed are at specific like 180, kind of double each other. And it looked like Samsung was able to accomplish that in their video with the motion when the people were running looked a little more realistic as opposed to, I guess, transitioning to the Apple one. It seems like they didn't have a filter because there's times where they're shooting in really bright light or maybe they're using action mode or something. And you can definitely tell a person's running. It doesn't look that awkward, but it just has a little bit of that like cell phone fakeness because it just doesn't have the motion as naturally as our eyes would see it, I think. That was one of the big things that I noticed with the Apple one.
The big thing that I took note of in the Apple and almost instantly is that there's way more color in it.
Yeah, that's
like
true
too. They placed an emphasis on like these different pops of color. And it also seemed a little rougher around the edges. Like there's times where the focus looked a little bit soft. There's instances where like, I don't know like how much I truly believe this, but it felt like they actually just shot it with like handheld and maybe used.
Yeah. It didn't look as steady.
Yeah, it didn't look as steady. Yeah, what's that? The Apple's action mode. Like they used action mode in some way to kind of like smooth it out. It seemed like, and makes me sound like an Apple shill, but it sounded like it was a little more authentic in a way, like true to like what you could maybe shoot with the phone. But even then, I'm sure they had like lights everywhere and like smoke machines and the same type of thing. But maybe not.
I think it's some
of
those. Some of those scenes, definitely there's like the Apple one is like a Bollywood movie. So there's a lot of like dancing and like stage play stuff. And I think, I mean, obviously on the stage, they would have a lot of lights, but a lot of that stuff, I feel like they shot it during the daytime. So they wouldn't have to use lights.
Okay.
You know what I mean?
Yeah,
like a lot of it is like outside during the day. It feels very like naturally lit. So yeah, that one just feels a little more like guerrilla filmmaking. Like in the behind the scenes, there's like a shot. One of the shots when he's running, you know, and he like jumps. And you see it from like the when he's looking up and like when he's running through the market, and you just see the behind the scenes, and it's literally just a dude laying on the ground with an iPhone, just going.
But
and it's like that just turned into one of the coolest shots in the video, and it's just a guy jumping over another guy with an iPhone in his hand. You know,
altogether it looks like lower quality.
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah, like
I think so. But getting into like the marketing aspect of it, like you were saying with the dog show one. Or the was it just about pets or was it a dog show? I don't remember that one, but the one from Samsung last year, you know, it's like
it was
felt
just,
more
it was like
an approachable.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, they were doing it on like a cheetah or something.
Oh, cool. But yeah, it felt more approachable. It was like, oh, I could, you know, me and three friends could do this. Not like the dancing scenes or the music choreography, but it's like we could do
yeah,
this
you
like
could if you
marketplace
tried.
Chase scene, you know, like that's just
yeah.
people holding cameras and running through here like three times. Like,
no, totally.
It's pretty
yeah.
cool. Yeah. Or like, some of the driving scenes, like it's just like a guy in a car filming like another guy in a car, and it's like it's a little rougher around the edges, but it's like it,
yeah,
it feels
it's realistic.
More inspiring. You're like, oh my gosh,
totally.
Could I do a little scene like that? As opposed to the Ridley Scott one, where you're like, I don't have the dolly or the smoke machine or like the three lighting guys, so I guess I'll just call it quits, even though it
so
looks like they had
on,
more control.
I came up with like, so I think that Ridley Scott should have shot House of Gucci. Just because I'm talking about that movie, I mentioned it before because I watched it on the weekend.
I've never seen it.
It's just burned into your
brain.
Don't
watch it. Yeah. He should have shot it with the S23 Ultra. It would have made it a better movie.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I'd like to... I'm trying to think. I think it's called High Flying Birds. I think actually Samir did a podcast about it when he had his little movie podcast. And it was a long
yeah,
time
he did.
But
yeah,
I think Steven Soderbergh shot an entire movie on iPhone. And yeah, I would love to see... a director like tackle a full realistic like Hollywood movie on a modern day phone, even a Samsung, like a Samsung or iPhone. I think both could lead you to great results. But yeah, I really want to see it in like a modern day setting now.
So switching gears, one of the thing that like things that stood out.
That should be a tech effect episode. Can you film a movie with an iPhone?
That's a good idea. Fair.
It'd be fun.
Yeah, sorry. Just random thought.
Yeah, maybe we could find a connect, like someone to talk to in the industry here.
Mm-hmm. What's the deal with the camera bump? It's different than previous years. Like, totally different to me. Anyways, no, it doesn't have the actual, like...
You haven't used
the
Samsung.
Last year's S22 so did they do was that the same last year? As this. Yeah. The big difference this year, I think, is they put, like, more, like, color, like, glossier accents around it, so it's a little more noticeable. I think it was matte around it last year. It looked a little more...
Yeah, it was matte-ish.
And I think that the little shine, it just makes it look a little more noticeable, but it is but the, like, the same.
The Apple, like, actual, I don't know how to describe what it is. The
OnePlus flying saucer, the brick on the back of the phone, the
stovetop. Yeah, whatever, the brick on the back, that's gone, but you're saying it was also gone last year, and I'm just dumb.
Yeah, I reviewed the S22 Ultra, so maybe you didn't see it.
Yeah, I used to make jokes.
I don't think I did. Like,
trypophobia or whatever.
Yeah. Tryptophobia jokes. Yeah. It was COVID-y last year, so we didn't see each other.
Yeah.
What do you guys prefer? Do you prefer the like old version where there's this massive bump and then bumps on top of the bumps? It's a bump inception city.
Bumps
or
all the
do
way
you
down.
Like this one where they just kind of like stick out? I like this one. Like, I wish this is what Apple would do with the iPhone. I would much rather that. I think it looks way cleaner.
I don't mind any of them really. I just want something that will sit level on a table. Honestly.
Yeah. As long as it's...
No, yeah, the Pixel level, does it.
Yeah.
I think, the Pixel You're does fair. It really well.
That's fair.
I actually think I prefer the bump. Like, I'm looking at my iPhone 14 Pro and beside my S23 Ultra, and I think that I prefer... I think it makes it look more organized.
Okay. Like, yeah, there's something nice about
the...
It has a place
for its own.
I agree. I like the stylizing of the bumps now and like how each bump kind of sets the phone apart. But I do really appreciate the minimalism on Samsung's phones. And I like every time I see them, I'm like, oh, I like how
it was nice.
Like, simple it is and how it's like not overcomplicating things. It's just like these are cameras. They're big. They're here. And like
I think
you don't look at the bump. You kind of look at the whole phone then. I don't know.
I think there's too many circles. There's too many things going on for Samsung.
Yeah,
I think they're having the 5 sensors plus the... LED it's just like a little too much for me.
It's
nice though.
I like it in the case you got. I like specifically because it has cutouts for each camera and it sits very flush on the table. And I like that reminds me of the Nothing case that I had, and that one also the cameras sit like directly flush with the case, and it was really nice. The one case that I have right now is just like a big rectangle cutout for all the cameras. So it honestly kind of like looks, and it kind of like looks like a camera bump in the case anyway. You know what I mean? But I think
case is like an official Samsung one.
No,
it's just
a Spigen
clear case, I think.
Spigen clear case. Samsung did not give us cases this year. They wanted me to break their phone, and I said, no, I will not have it.
It was a drop test, real world drop possession test.
Yeah. So, off the Golden Gate Bridge.
It's a waterproof test as well. We have a team of divers ready to retrieve. I actually watched a really funny TikTok the other night, and it was just like some dude ice fishing, and he gets up and like drops the phone down the hole, and then his buddy's beside him. He's like, is that your phone?
I saw that. Yeah.
And it's like you can see the phone like waving back and forth on the fish finder. It's like, you're scaring away all the perch. It's so funny.
Because we're a Canadian website, one of the things with these phone launches that I want to get back to doing is talking about how it specifically fits into the Canadian market, because the phones that are available here, it's a little bit different than the rest of the world, and even the US in some cases. Anytime I see a new Android phone, lately at least, I find it like very difficult to recommend it to anyone when I know that the Pixel 7 exists or even the Pixel 7 Pro. Because they're on sale, they're a really good price, either one. I think they're on sale again this week, John.
I don't know if they've ever been like off sale, honestly.
They were for a while when they first launched.
Yeah, but I feel like the last 3-4 months they've been like $600 starting.
How do these phones, like the S23, the S23 Plus, and the S23 Ultra, fit into the Canadian market in terms of pricing? Like, would you recommend any of them over what Google's doing with the Pixel 7 and the Pixel 7 Pro?
If we're looking for like a pure value stance, the Pixels definitely win. I think the S23 is $1,099. S23 Plus is $1,349.
I'll look it up right now while you're talking.
$1,669 for the Ultra, I think.
Yeah. This is just me going off the top of my head, which I hope.
So, but that's the launch prices. So, like, I think like the Pixel, we'll see those drop by about $200 often. You know, like I think the S23, the standard S23, I feel like people will be able to get for like $800, maybe even a little less, quite often. And then carrier deals will be even better because it will compete more directly with the Pixel 7. There, like it'll still, you know, like $14 a month kind of thing, $9 a month on sale, like. Kind of stuff we'll see a lot of in carrier stores. I think that's what we saw with the S22 at least.
Yeah
The S23 is $1,099. The S23 Plus is $1,399.
Yeah, look at me, I'm almost completely right.
And what did you say for the Ultra? Let's see if you got
1649.
Samsung's website doesn't want me to look at the Ultra. Yeah, the Ultra is $1,649. Look at you.
Damn.
That's impressive. I can't remember.
If it was $1,699, I would remember. the issue, though, of the Samsung phone, I mean, with comparing it to the Pixels, is that the Samsung phones, if you're a guy who wants a non-Tensor processor, like a faster processor, yep. Or if you want to actually take good pictures, Pixel 7 Pro takes good pictures.
I think Pixel 7 takes good pictures too. It just doesn't have a zoom lens like the base level Samsung.
If you want the 10 times zoom or the, I think the
3x zoom.
What?
Like the S23 and S23 Plus only have 3x zoom.
And then the Ultra is the 10 times.
And the Ultra is extra 10. Yeah. I think you just, you're talking about the Ultra now. Sorry.
Yeah, sorry. I don't know anything about, I know nothing about anything lower than a flagship.
Dean doesn't flagship. Use lesser phones, peasant phones.
Ultra or nothing.
Okay. So, but if you're comparing let's compare those two top phones, and then we can go to the S23 and the next Pixel 7. So, Pixel 7 Pro has its 50 megapixel camera, takes good pictures. I like the pictures in my review. Good stuff. S23 Ultra takes 200 megapixel cameras, has 10 times zoom, has
got a little pen in there. Stuck in there.
Yeah, a little pen. It has its 8K. It can take 8K videos at 24 or 30 FPS. It can take a better cinematic video as well than the Pixel 7 Pro.
Way better. But all of the Samsungs can take better cinematic video than the Pixels. Yep.
So if you want the best bang for your buck, I'd go Pixel 7. But if you, 7 Pro, sorry, in terms of the premium phones, but if you want an Android phone that can take the best photos because you're a creator or you're hardcore into gaming, maybe, I think definitely the S23 Ultra is more worth it. It's just harder to swallow that with the $1,649 pricing.
Yeah, personally, I think the Ultra stands alone. I think the Pixel 7 Pro actually competes with the S23 Plus realistically in terms of specs. Okay. And the Ultra is, you know, because the Ultra is like $300, $400 more than both of them and has the pen, has all this 200 megapixel stuff. But like S23 Plus, 50 megapixel camera, Pixel 7 Pro, 50 megapixel camera, 3x zoom lens. Was the Pixel have a 5x zoom? But like, you know what I mean? It has a zoom lens. They both have, I think, 45-watt charging. Like, they're very similar. And the S23 Plus also has that top-of-the-line Snapdragon chip. It has, you know, the same amount of, like, a good amount of RAM. It starts at 256 gigabytes of storage. Like, I think the S23 Plus is still more expensive than the Pixel 7 Pro. But
it is,
I think that, on sale, that will be a more leveled-off challenge. And yeah, I think that's a more competitive zone. Like, I really don't know what the S23 Ultra competes with, except for, I guess, like, the Fold.
The iPhone 14 Pro Max.
But, like, I still don't really believe...
Too far apart.
No, pricing wise, they're not too far apart, but I just don't really believe, like, at this point in the game, in this point of the game, we call it life, in this point in like 2023 years on Earth, people just are iPhone people or Samsung people. I don't know if people switch anymore.
You're you know? Aware there's a lot more years on Earth than 2023, right? There was a before
Yeah, but I like to think like cell phones didn't really start until Jesus started. You know, Jesus became important, and then like cell phones became important like very quickly after. Dinosaur times doesn't really. We don't need
phones. They don't.
They didn't have the thumbs or like the technical ability. They didn't have the silicone fit manufacturing.
There's so much. There's so much more between dinosaurs and Jesus.
I don't know, dude. I started in like. Phone times. That's all I know is the microchips. But any, I'm just making jokes. But I get where you're coming from. I think that like in terms of specs and processing, and I think Apple and Samsung do like try to compete with each other. But I just think like regular consumers kind of stick one or the other. I feel like we're the same with like Windows and Mac too. Like it's just people don't switch back and forth very often.
Totally. That's true,
nerds
true.
Do, and but nerds are. People like us who always get hung up on one weird quirk, and we don't really buy things for as reasonable reasons as everyone else, which is like
I barely even change back and forth anymore. Only when I have to.
Sounds familiar. Yeah, there are rumors that Apple's making an Ultra iPhone. Maybe not.
Yeah,
this coming year.
There better be a little pen in there.
Yeah, there's not going to be a pen. That's not going to happen. But there's like rumors about a better flute. That'd be cool. Like a zoom lens of some sort. So like I think to some extent Apple needs to do a big zoom. They're aware that like there is the Samsung phone that is far more expensive, that is like in line with the Max, but in some ways offers more features, especially on the photography side of things. So even like
if you're a spec, I agree with what you're saying. If you care about specs, the Ultra has it all.
Yeah, but even from like a marketing perspective, Apple's thinking about it too. Like they're thinking about, I think that this Samsung phone exists.
Like, can we talk about the Ultra renders for a second? Have you guys seen the one that has the like orange button, like the Ultra Watch? Like it has like an extra button on it.
The iPhone ones?
Yeah, there's like a render that I saw of like an iPhone 15 Ultra, and it was like the Starlight Titanium or whatever of the Apple Watch Ultra, and then it had an extra orange like action button on the bottom, like the Ultra. I'll see if I can find it, but I thought it was really funny.
If you can find it, send it to me. It's not based on anything though, isn't it? Just someone who like heard there was an Ultra coming out possibly and like made a render of it.
I think so. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's just like if you just Google it. It's the first one, but I think it looks cool. It almost looks like it has like a leather back on it too. And I'm like, oh, that would be nice. Like you know how Samsung used to have the fake leather backs, but this looks like a real. It's a render. It's all fake. I mean, I'm talking speculation. I sent it in this Zencastr chat, but
okay, yeah, I have seen this. Yeah, it looks like
it's a little orange button on it.
Yeah.
What do you think if that was real? What do you think that button would be used for? Like, do you think they market it the same way as the watch? Where like start timers, just instantly start a timer, start a workout. Just like that.
I would never let anybody do that on the
phone. Call Siri. Instantly open the camera.
I hate this design.
Oh, yeah. And I guess
I've ever seen.
The other thing is, do you think if they do an Ultra, like, do they do what you said, where they go spec forward, everything really compete with the S22 Ultra? Or do they kind of market it like the Watch Ultra, where it's like a little more rugged, a little more intense, a little more
outdoorsy? I don't think they'd make a rugged phone.
Yeah, that's fair.
The rumor is that it's going to have a different design though. So like to some extent I do buy that maybe it'll have more rounded edges, that kind of thing. They want to like release something that's different that costs way more than the Max currently does, which is a little insane to money. Think about. And they got to give people a reason to buy it.
When I think back to the iPhone 10 or iPhone X launch alongside the iPhone 8 where that was like we'll keep a regular phone around, and then we've got the newer, flashier phone for the much higher price. I could see something happening with that, but now we've got, you know, four steps on the ladder as opposed to just
That's a good three. Comparison. That's what this is supposed to be, essentially. I didn't think of it like that before, but that's precisely
they
what
would, they should call it the iPhone 15, and the other one's called the iPhone 15 R Plus and the iPhone
15 put any letter behind it. Who cares?
iPhone Ultra Max. No, stop with the letters. Let's just get that out of here. Let's just do like iPhone 14, big and small, iPhone 14 Pro, medium and large, and then
plus
the 5 phone Max, iPhone Ultra.
iPhone 14 Max plus Ultra.
I would really love it if they did iPhone Ultra, no number. Just iPhone Ultra. You know what I mean? But that's like classic Apple though. That's like that's what Apple used to do, though. They would just
that's
like,
what they still do.
Years, it was just, yeah. I guess the iPad is still like that, but it would just be like iPad, the new iPad. It's like just no, do I iPhone Ultra. Numbers. Like I just want iPhone Ultra.
No, I hate.
What do you
that.
Have? I'm like iPhone that. Ultra. Because it's like the numbers are getting so arbitrary. Like I was talking to somebody, they're like, oh, like what's that? It's like, oh, it's a Samsung S23. And they're like, they've made 20 of those. And I was like, no, not quite. They skipped a few numbers. But imagine if they had made 20 of them and they just kept like, you know what I mean? Like it's
that's what Apple's
the numbers
gonna
are
do.
Just getting so yeah, we're getting up there. Like 15 iPhones. Like it's crazy.
So the event itself, this was one of the first bigger in-person product launches since the pandemic. Like Apple's done some kind of low-key ones. Not to say that like the pandemic is over, it's still going on, but some things like this are coming back again in a big way. What was the event like itself? How would you compare it to like an Apple event? Was there anything like cool in terms of the experiences that they had set up for media and influencers to test out?
So we had an experience like a few days before in a Samsung flagship store. That was fun. I mean, if you've seen our hands-on video, you saw we got to do the big portrait thing. There's like a little gaming room. There's like some set up downstairs that we got to film in, which is nice.
We got in trouble and with the security.
Oh, I was telling my friends this last night because so there was like this one setup. You can kind of see it in the video as well. There's like a star backdrop and there's like an astronaut
yeah,
out
that.
There. And then on the ground, there's like fishbowl rocks like set up to look like the moon. And so I'm in like director cameraman mode and Dean is in like talent mode and he's just like talking about the phone and we just like round the corner with the camera blah 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 and then I'm just like Dean get over there and go stand beside that astronaut, let's film something. So Dean's like halfway across the moon before security comes busting out and he's like, hey, get out of there, what are you doing, can't read the signs. We both look down and like all over the moon it's just like, do not walk. We're just like there like can we just, and he's like no. So then we had to film it like from the other side, but
yeah,
that was really funny. Oh yeah, and they had like a little like Korean alleyway set up for like night shots. It was really cool.
This little like gyroscopic things, I don't know if that's right.
Oh yeah,
like,
the thing that Carl did?
The simulate like you're on the moon. We didn't do it because we ran out of time.
It was like a spinning thing. Yeah, you could put the phone in it and record, and then as the phone spin, it would actually look like you were the one spinning because of how they'd sort of place them.
So Samsung faked the moon landing.
Yep, or they're faking zero G at least. Maybe there's no astronauts actually up there. What else was there? I'm trying to think. There's lots of stuff. There's some laptop stuff. The one thing that like irked me, and Samsung, if you're listening, please, you take so many notes out of Apple. Just walk around the corner from your Samsung store to the Apple store, and the biggest difference you'll notice is that Apple has natural daylight bulbs in their store. And for some reason, Samsung is using like 4,500 Kelvin, like orange lighting in its store. And it's like, what do you, why?
You could see it in the pictures.
Yeah, and the video, like we pulled those back. I was doing like heavy color correcting. Like it was tough. Like I could only do it where like shots where Dean's skin was in, because I could be like, just pull Dean's skin into range and then the phone would look normal. Like, okay, and then like apply that to all the other clips. But yeah, it was like, oh man, when I first filmed it, I was like, this might be a very unprofessional orange looking video because I don't know if I'm going to be able to save this stuff. But
so, because we did all this at the event, we didn't actually go to the like the hands-on demo area because
why would
we already had a hands-on demo and it was very crowded because I don't think everyone did have their hands-on demos. So
and there was regular people, just Samsung fans were allowed at the event as well, so it was like I don't want to take time away from them if we've already got the phones kind of thing.
But they had good food.
Yeah, actually surprised. So I had like little catered lunches that you could just grab on the way out, like little salads or like
Apple does that sometimes. I always appreciate it.
But I grabbed a what was it? It was like a pork carnita in a box kind of deconstructed thing.
Ooh. Yeah.
And it was so good. The pork was like surprisingly good. I was like eating at the hotel later and I was like, this might be like the best like cold catered lunch I've ever had. It was so props to that. I was whoever catered that event was really
so,
really tasty.
To compare, I've never been to an Apple event, so I can't really compare it with that. But to compare it to a Pixel event,
that's true.
Which Brad and I went to last year.
Yeah, did they even give
for
us
the Pixel 7 Pro, and they didn't have food, and they were in the smallest auditorium ever. That they kicked us out. Side for a good 15 minutes while they set up all the demo products.
Which was basically just like put a table in the center of the room with like 10 phones on it. And it was like, there's going to be like 30 press about to storm in here. I mean, you could see it in the Pixel and the Pixel Watch hands-on videos. That place was chaos. And it was so dark.
It was tiny. Yeah. It even looks tiny in the video.
It was very tiny. I it was the smallest launch I think I've been
Do you remember that guy that kept asking me to get out of his shot? And it's like, my dude, there's like nowhere for me to go. He's like, hey, can you move? Get him a shot. I like move over like 3 feet. He's like, no, you're still in it. I guess he was shooting like ultra wide. So I had to go like other side of the room. And it was like, man, I got like, you can't. There's too many people in here. Just like, you gotta, you can't pretend that you're in here alone.
Yeah. So the Samsung experience definitely felt more, I guess, premium versus the
Pixel. And it was really nice to be in a day ahead or 2 days ahead, like, you know, get the stuff ready. So like when the event ended, our video was ready to just go up and your coverage was ready to go up on the website.
Did you get coffee from one of the coffee carts, ladies?
No, I didn't. There was always big lines and I
if you went upstairs,
I don't drink
no
coffee
lines
as much anymore. So I don't like to drink coffee when I'm at events. I
had a chai tea latte.
Drink as much water. Liquid Deaths, you know me. I was walking around with that Liquid Death in my pocket all day.
That you threw out.
Yeah, I basically walked around with, on the first day in San Francisco, I always buy Liquid Death water because the first time I bought it, I thought it was funny, but you can't really buy it in Canada. So that's my little treat to myself whenever I go to the States. So I bought one of each flavor, and Dean bought some as well. And we drank them, blah, blah, blah. And then we went to a karaoke thing. I was a little hungover the next day, so I ended up buying a gallon of lemonade. So I didn't drink my Liquid Death. So the last day, I had one left, and I was like, well, I have to drink this, but it's like in a can. So I couldn't open it and close it. And I was like, I'll find a spot today. I'm going to like drink it. And I didn't. I carried it around all day until we got to the airport at 10:40 at night, right in front of the airport door, opened it, chugged half, threw it out, and I got on the plane.
I always see it on podcasts. Is it carbonated?
Some of them.
Okay.
There's just like a plain water that's just still, but most of them are carbonated, I guess.
And if the CEO or president of Popeyes Canada is listening, you gotta get a gallon of lemonade because it was so good.
So good. It saved our lives that day.
Yeah.
I just saw it on like the DoorDash menu and it was like 1 gallon of lemonade. It was in like a huge bag. You can
like
I picture it on
gallon?
My Twitter.
An actual gallon.
Like a literal gallon, dude.
Everything
showed up.
So
and the worst part
down there.
Yeah, it's like 4 liters, I think, is a gallon. Or maybe more. It's like 4.5 liters. Yeah. We honestly didn't finish all that either. Like, to be honest, 4.5 liters is a lot of lemonade for two like grown men to drink in a day and a half.
I just picture both of you guys like just sharing it, like sessioning it, passing it back and forth, trying to finish.
Well, we kind of worked because the cups in the hotel were so small, so you could only get like a few sips in your cup and you had to fill it back up.
That's so funny.
Just like the bag of lemonade laying on the floor. Oh, it was funny.
Okay, to close this out. I guess one of the things that I want to this is like kind of what you guys were talking about before. It's a little bit inside baseball, but I think people that follow Mobile Syrup, especially those that have been around for a long time, might be interested in this. We only got the Ultra to review, not the S23 and the S23 Plus, and it's unclear if Samsung is going to send us review units of the other two devices. And to give people some context, like usually we get them all, and we. Some years we've handled it differently, arguably incorrectly. Like I did a review of all of them once, but lately we've been breaking them out and doing like the S23 and the S23 Plus under one review and the Ultra on its own. Why do you guys think Samsung it seems like they kind of don't want media to cover the S23 and the S23 Plus, at least as far as reviews go?
Because they're the same phone. Like, you know how you asked me earlier if the S23 Ultra and the S22 Ultra are the same, and I said yeah. Well, if you really want to see two this have the exact same phones, you just got to pull out the S23 and the S22, because other than battery life and the selfie camera, they're the same. And
the Plus got faster charging, so they got one extra. The Plus got one extra feature over the
so
other.
Those are really the only differences.
There might be one or two other small things that were missing, but pretty much nothing changed. Oh, wait, did the Plus's base storage, was that 256 last year? Is that a change? But
no,
it's like really
change.
Small, tiny things like that that don't, subtle don't changes, really okay. make a difference. Yeah.
Yeah. And the same
value,
selfie camera is on the S23 Ultra. So if you want to test the selfie camera on if you want to test that out, it's the same across the board. So,
which is for the best, I think. That's a good improvement for those lower end, or
I mean 10 megapixels good... to 12 megapixels, and it's not, and I don't think they did a lot to it, but
yeah, that's fair.
We're still,
we don't know why they didn't,
to get our hands on an S23 or an S23 plus. That's yet to be determined, but Dean, you're handling the Ultra review, and I think we're hoping to get it out probably just before the phone releases.
Yeah, I have a date in mind, and it's right before it's a couple days before the phone releases.
Cool.
But yeah, I just want to, yeah, back to what you're saying about the other two phones not coming, and I don't think they're not just coming to us. From what we were talking to people at the event,
it's everybody.
Like other publications in Canada or even the US were going to get them. Like, you were talking to a guy at Android Police, and he was saying that he was thinking their publication was just going to have to buy one. Like, they were just going to buy one to review. Like, they wouldn't get a copy. So who knows what boat we'll be in. And yeah, I think Dean was right. It's like they're worried about people saying it's the same. But like we talked about earlier, I do think those phones compete more squarely with the Pixel line. So it does feel interesting that Samsung didn't put them out just to show the competition, because I imagine they would compete.
I don't know if a lot of people think like you.
I know.
Don't get me wrong.
I think Samsung, I agree with you. I think Samsung's right, because I think most reviewers, yeah, would like be mad that they weren't the same. But yeah, I like to look at, like, I don't know. And I don't know if I'm right or wrong, but I like to look at the context. And I think within the context, they're actually really approachable phones. But
yeah. No, I mean, like, I don't think people think that the S23 Ultra is on its own. I think they're comparing it to the Pixel 7 Pro, which I think you're right.
It's like a $500. There's like, you could buy an entire second phone for the difference between the pricing in those two phones, you know? Like, how much is the Pixel 7 Pro right now in Canada?
It's $1,189. But
no, but including the sale that's on right now.
Oh, is there a sale? Damn.
Right now it's $979. So there is about
There's
about $600 difference between those two phones.
No, and I think you're right. I think that they are really, they're not really comparable, which is something that I should keep in mind during my review.
Yeah, like,
we've talked about it a bunch of times.
Pat, go ahead.
No, I was just going to say, like, we've talked about it a bunch of times, and like, the average Canadian smartphone buyer, like, the Pixel doesn't exist. Like, the only phone that they see is a Samsung phone. They think that's Android. Like, people call, like, when someone says, like, I'm going to go buy an Android, they're talking about a Samsung phone, at least in the context of Canada in most cases, or they're going to buy an iPhone. And those are the only two phones that exist. I think Google's made, like, some inroads, and, like, they have some good carrier partnerships, and there's, like, some good deals. But still, like, that phone, to someone like my mom, that phone doesn't exist, man. Like, the only Android phone is Samsung. Oh, good. Result from search on my Google Nest.
What up, Siri?
Google.
I'll trigger anything in my
mind. I actually think things will change.
I agree. I think that Google has been really aggressive, and I think it'll pay off for them.
I think that if Google does launch a foldable this year, I think it will.
You think that will help?
I think it will help, because people right now are always like, oh, is that the Samsung? Whenever they see me use a foldable, whenever they see me use a fold, they're like, oh, is that the Samsung? Whatever.
Interesting.
And I think that when Google starts making their own, people, and one that's more affordable in theory, I think that people will start being like, oh, is that the Google? And then they'll start to realize that there's more Google phones other than the
foldable. Mindshare.
I get that, because when I had the Flip, I always talk about it, like, the Flip and to a bit of a lesser extent the Nothing phone, but those were the two phones that I've used in the last year that, like, regular people saw and were like, yo, what's that? You know, most times I'm using a phone, nobody asks. Nobody ever asks about the OnePlus 11. But the Flip and something really interesting looking like the Nothing phone, that was enough to, intrigue people to ask, which I think is what you need, word of mouth. So, I think you're onto something with the foldable Pixel, Dean. Could be a page turner. No, because it's kind of like a book. That makes sense.
No one can even see
That's good. That's a good place to wrap it up after that joke.
this feels like the end of karaoke. I sang and it was really bad, and then they were like, "All right, we're done."
What did you sing?
Don't remember. I did sing a Frank Sinatra song earlier on in the night. Remember that one? I think it went well. And I want to say I think I tried to sing like a Haim song. And I'm just so flat. I just couldn't.
I don't remember.
It was embarrassing. I remember being halfway through and just being like, I should walk out. Yeah, you killed it too.
Good. I'm proud of you for that one.
Yeah, I killed it. I killed it so hard.
Okay, that's it. Thanks for listening to the Syrupcast. You can find me on Twitter at @Patrick_Rourke and, of course, on mobilesyrup.com. I actually wrote something about something. I got to remember the TV's name.
Hisense.
Yeah, it's a Hisense TV that I've been using for the last couple of months, U88H. I like did a lot of research before I landed on this TV. I wanted like something that was in the range of $1,000, but still had like high-end features. Didn't really care about 120 hertz HDMI 2.1. That wasn't important to me because I didn't plan to play games on it. But it has that, and it's also got HDR, and it's also got Dolby Vision. And it's shocking to me anyways that like you can get a TV that has all of these high-end features that a few years ago cost like in the range of 2K for $1,000 Canadian. So did a little story about that, and that's up on the site.
How many HDMI ports does it have? That's one thing that I like when I look at my next TV upgrade, I want a lot. I want an above average amount of HDMI ports, you know?
It's got four, two of them are 120 hertz compatible, but one's eARC, so you might lose that one to a soundbar if you use a soundbar. And then the other
I'm mostly trying
like
to go soundbar through optical. Hertz. Yeah. Fair enough.
Yeah, I like to be able to control everything with one remote.
Optical usually lets me on my Roku TV.
You can, yeah.
Because then it just like overrides the sound from the TV basically.
I've never been able to get that to work. It usually works
through optical for me with the Sonos one, at least with the Roku remote, but maybe the Roku remote is just smart enough to control the Sonos bar.
Cool.
But yeah, I'm looking for HDMI ports on my next TV someday. I want 10, you know. I'm sick of unplugging things to play different older consoles and stuff.
I always buy docks. I always have like an HDMI like dock thing with a switcher smart. And it's a nightmare.
I think I made like the worst solution to this problem, but I put my TV stand on wheels, so it's just easier to pull out from the wall when I need to get behind it. I can just like crank it out.
What is that? What are you pointing at?
It's a touchpad.
My controller. Let's go.
Oh, you want to play? Yeah. Oh, yeah. We're going to mention Dean's technically off today, and he's supposed to be playing video games all day. And it's your fault for sleeping in, pal. You should have even went to bed at 5. You should have just stayed up. Played podcast, and then went to bed after.
Okay, Bennett, where can people find you?
Yeah, you can find me just about anywhere at the Brad Fad. A little bit on mobilesyrup.com, maybe a little more than usual, but we're working on kind of a fun project to hopefully take our social media and video game to the next level that hopefully you guys will see later this year. That's about all I've got going on, but I think it'll be exciting.
Cool. Excited for that. Dean, where can people find you?
You can find me on Mobile Syrup and the daily My Daily Dose and on Twitter. No, on Instagram. That's a lie. My Daily Dose on Instagram.
You have so many.
Twitter is the Daily Dean. And you can look out for my HomePod review that I just finished last week and my S23 Ultra hands-on. I have an S23 Ultra review coming out. I have some other stuff in the works. And most importantly, I'm going to do a shout out or a throw out to the Syrup Arcade podcast. Yes. If you want to watch a podcast with very experienced gamers and talk about gaming stuff, check out that one. It was probably the last episode on this list.
Yeah, I mean,
it
was the last episode.
Last two, I think, are Syrup Arcade episodes.
And the next one will be a Syrup Arcade one, too, because we have that ready.
Yeah. And that whole podcast is like part of this feed, so you don't have to like search for it on Spotify or whatever. It'll show up if you're already a Syrupcast subscriber.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I just wanted to throw it to myself.
No, that's good. Shout out to yourself. Promote your own stuff. That's the point.
Follow me on the
Miiverse. And as always, was it because I'm playing Wind?
Yeah, you don't get the Miiverse. You don't get the Tingle Bottle. You don't get that.
I was just gonna say because I'm playing Wind Waker on the Steam Deck. Emulated
pirate
Xbox Series X controller. I just love to say that sentence. Like, I can't do any of that. I can't do any of the Miiverse Tingle stuff.
Yeah, dude, that's fine. I can do it for about a month and 10 days, a month and 12 days until the Nintendo Online shuts down, and then the Miiverse will probably go away as well. So catch me on the Miiverse for a month and a half. Be up there with the like last 10 people.
That's hilarious.
Okay, let's end this so Dean can go go play games again. As always, you can find all of our content at mobilesyrup.com and also follow us on Twitter and Instagram at mobilesyrup. Thanks for listening.
Bye, everyone.